Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7, back at one of our favorite spots over here, Neil Huffman on the Dixie, where they've got some great specials going on right now. Again, ESPN Louisville discount, FOD discount, $49.95 synthetic oil change and tire rotation. We got that going on right now. They've got a big selection of used cars over here as well. And if you want to sell your car, we were talking about going to break. Mark Blankenbaker did that. Not too long ago.
I sold it at the Acura location, took it in there, got like a valuation kind of over the phone.
Yeah.
Kind of
gave you can start it online right
That's
away.
Right. And then website. They come in and they give you an actual price based on that once they actually see your car, see the condition it's in and everything like that. And then they just bought it. I was out of the door, had all the paperwork in my hand, and it was great to be able to just sell a car that fast through the Huffman Auto Group. So it's pretty great.
That's where we are here this morning. We'll take your calls here if you want to get in. 267-9680. I'm going to do that. We are going to replay the Jeff Brohm interview from yesterday. That was, you know, it was fun time talking to
it was awesome.
Jeff Brohm. And we mentioned at the start of the show, but the Churchill Downs statement yesterday after winning their court case is one of the greatest victory lap statements. I didn't think it was real. Zidane, and keep in mind, this is the owner who had Medina Spirit. This is the straw that broke the camel's back with Baffert. One of the guys had a great line yesterday. One of these Irish guys, when he was talking about, I got to write it down, but it was like, well, I'll get back. When I remember that, I'm gonna get back to that.
Okay.
I gotta remember that because it was.
You got up in
you
the
know,
air.
You go to the bathroom, you know, and you're like, somebody's at the urinal, you know, you shake it once, you're shaking it. You shake it twice, you're playing with it. You shake it three times, you work for Baffert. because they were going to must be a lot of urine around that hay, man.
Yeah, lots of urine.
So, and I'm not delivering it quite like he did. So,
you need to get a couple bourbons going.
It was a great, great line. So anyway,
we were having that discussion last night at dinner about it, and then, the big thing is like when Gamine in the Oaks.
That was it. Okay, the thing, I mean, I you can argue all day that we're talking about butt cream here is really what we're talking about. But same time, he acted like he had no idea what it was when he had just lost the third place finish in the Oaks on Gamine the year prior.
Right.
That is when he lost everyone at Churchill Downs.
Right.
And they, as he probably should, because to act like you didn't know what it was is disingenuous. I love Baffert. I think he's great for the game. But I understand the Churchill position on this, that the Derby brand is the most important thing that they have.
Right.
And that they, you know, and that when he said that, I don't even know what it is. Yes, you do.
Well,
you know damn well what it is.
Two biggest races Churchill has every year.
Yeah.
The Kentucky Oaks, the Kentucky Derby, obviously. But and I don't think the reporters really knew about the Gamine and what that disqualification necessarily
was. No,
I mean,
why would you know exactly right away what that was? Yeah.
But the people at Churchill Downs
knew it.
And they knew the game that he was playing.
And he didn't have to run to the microphone that fast, and he did. And it was keep in mind, Medina Spirit's owner was Zidane, and they're the ones suing to try to get into the race with Baffert. Quote from Churchill Downs. I literally thought it was – it's like Indian Charlie wrote it. It says, we are pleased with the court's decision today and believe Mr. Zidane may suffer from a case of Derby fever, which is known to spread with exposure to horses and is contagious this time of year. Symptoms can contribute to questionable judgment and in extreme cases can result in litigious behavior. There is no known cure. Nevertheless, we have communicated clearly about the rules of entry, which are the same for everyone and are non-negotiable. Contenders cannot sue their way into the Kentucky Derby. We wish Mr. Zidane well in the future and appreciate both his passion for the sport and his desire to see his horses compete on the first Saturday in May.
Wow.
Again, that's like Indian Charlie wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, that is so funny.
And,
how do you think
and choose some of the wording. Let's look at also some of the words. Derby fever, which is known to spread with exposure to horses. Isn't that one of the exposure to betamethasone?
Wow, did they think about that? Is it a double entendre there?
Oh, absolutely. Symptoms can contribute to questionable judgment, and in extreme cases can result in litigation. I mean, this is a bazooka at Baffert.
And
this is
them.
A giant yeah. F-U to them. How you like me now, you know,
so
add in your
work. So this ban next year?
I don't know.
Forever?
No, I think he'd be in it this year if he just said, you know what, I did it. You know, if he did the Pete Rose, you know, I mean, seriously.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, it's a, look, I was wrong. I'm going to clean up the act.
Right.
You know, but he won't. He's fighting. It's a silly battle to fight, in my opinion, but he's going to fight it.
Right. Well, I mean, he did run to the mic, and he was disingenuous there.
And then he kept suing Churchill. That's generally not a great way to get your ban lifted.
But, you know, I love Baffert. You know, yeah. He's always been great to us.
Absolutely.
And he comes and sits down. And, in fact, was it Saturday or Sunday after the Derby that the medication result?
I think it was a week after.
Yeah, but
on a Sunday, I think
it was the Friday after Derby. Like, so it had been 6 days since.
I thought it was like Sunday after Derby.
What I'm saying,
or like 8 days later.
He did the longest I've ever heard him do any radio, and that was all on Inside Churchill Downs with Darren Rogers. And I think it was the next day, the next morning, that all happened down on the backside of Churchill Downs, and that is just. I just remember it happening, like, this is almost not real.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost not real. And, but, you know, and maybe he just got caught.
He did get caught.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe he was doing it, or maybe it was a mistake. I don't know, but, like. You know,
I don't. I mean, I think, but who knows? I mean, it's not the betamethasone. It's what the betamethasone could be covering. You know, like, that's the part that.
Sure.
That I think, if you're Churchill, that you're going, okay, dude, you know, this is not.
Totally.
We're not buying this.
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, I would like to see it all come together and move on.
Yeah. I would, too.
But the lawsuit's got to stop.
Quit suing, man.
Right. Sue everybody.
Jerky boys. Yeah.
Have you watched many Derby prep races?
No, I have not. Have you?
I've watched a few. But this is probably the least. Yesterday was my first time at the track since we lost Clint.
And that's probably why, because I haven't. Yeah, it was always a big part of our conversations was this prep or that prep, particularly when their horses were in it. Because then it's like
it's like
when your basketball team's good, you care about other basketball teams,
correct?
I mean, how they relate to you, it's kind of like that. I mean, I was always wanting to compare it to their, you know, horses, and it's like, and that's so yeah, that's where. And we, you know, and one of the guys we were with yesterday, Charlie O'Connor from Coolmore, he was. You know, we were talking about Clint, obviously there as well, because he was, you know, knew him well and was, you know, big reason we were able to. You know, get a lot of these guys on the show. So I've met some good Irish friends yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. They're going to be great.
We're going to need a lot of extra help this year if we're going to keep going like we've been going on the backside. But, you know, so we're going to lean on Jenny Reese, your Irish friends, Carla back there, our great friend Carla.
Yes, Carla gets it done.
Carla Grego. She always gets it done for us.
We're going to need extra work. We're going to need some spa stuff, but we're going to have to. We have to have a Carla gift pack.
Oh, yeah. Every year.
I think the people that are great partners need to line up to help with the Carla gift pack.
Okay.
You like the guests. You got that. By the way, I met a country music guy yesterday, too.
Who'd you meet?
Walker Montgomery. Michael Montgomery.
Really?
Awesome.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we're talking about Tortuga and music festivals.
Are y'all going
he's
together?
He's playing one up in Delaware. So, I don't know. I got to check the dates.
Flying with him? You going to be a stagehand?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's not the main act. He's up with John Party, who is a big star. So he's
that'd be cool.
Yeah. So
get you backstage,
probably, Mark. Yeah. I hope so. If I'm going to Delaware,
well, you're a CMA member.
Well, that's true.
You know, so
by the way, that's how big the UFC event is. Me, that is CMA Fest weekend, and I'm going to come back for the fight night that is here.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So
you're going to leave the CMA.
Yes,
Fest
I am.
For a UFC fight. Who are you?
Who? I'm changing by the
moment. I think I went to Hawaii and you're a totally different person. You're giving the NIL.
You're giving $1,000 at NIL.
You're CMA Fest. You're friends with a lot of Irish guys all of a sudden. I don't know who you are.
Hanging out with these Irishmen. The hell they are. Sure am.
Yeah,
it's right there. CMA Fest 6, 7, 8, 9th. And that event here is the Saturday, July, whatever the date is on that. Yes, yeah. Yes, I believe so. So I'll get a couple of days of it. And maybe I'll go back down for, day four. Sense. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're moving to Nashville. So.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so Thursday, I'd get Jordan Davis, Leonard Skinner, and Thomas Charette. Okay, so that'd be good. Then Friday, I'm getting John Party, Luke Bryan, Parker McCollum. I'm giving up Keith Urban.
You're giving,
giving up,
up
Jelly who? Roll, Keith Urban, Laney Wilson.
You stop it.
Oh, my
God. Why are you doing this?
God.
Max is I'll take Max.
No, I got to go.
I'll take him.
Yeah, I'm not coming back for that Sunday. It's Carly Pierce, Bailey Zimmerman. I'm going to 2 days. I'm going the first 2 days. And
you sure
back.
You don't want me to just – I can usher him there. I can take him there. I'll be his Uber.
No, man. I'm making contacts in this business too. All right, hey, don't forget our friends at FanDuel. When you want to bet on whatever you're interested in right now, FanDuel.com has – you want to bet over, under, three-pointers. You want to bet points. You want to bet a game. You want to bet a parlay. You want a same-game parlay. You got to log on every morning and see what the various offers are each morning because there's profit boosts, no-sweat bets. You name it, they've got it at FanDuel. And if you haven't signed up, you get $150 in bonus bets. When you go to FanDuel.com/DrewD, make your first bet and make a $10 deposit, and you're up and running. Win or lose, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets. So you got to be 21 or older, present in Kentucky, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLE.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
We are back at it here, 93.9 The Ville. Just the two of us. Is that for me and Blankenbaker? Is that what it was for? I'm not sure if whatever it was.
KP and Cal, maybe.
I got you.
I don't know. I'm not going with Diener down to Tampa.
Yeah. Well, we did talk to Jeff Brohm yesterday and had a lengthy conversation, so I wanted to replay that for you. And I started out by asking what he learned about his team in spring. So what's his, spring game obviously tomorrow night. What have you learned about your team over the last few weeks?
Well, I think that spring practice has gone well. Without question, a lot of our guys that have been here last year are definitely ahead of the curve. They've done a really good job. All the returners have worked really hard. They've improved. We've seen it. And you can notice it in practice. And then we have quite a few newcomers. And they're making progress. They got really good talent. They're athletic. And, we just got to continue to work with them throughout the rest of the spring and summer and fall and get them ready. But we definitely think they will mesh well, and they will help us win football games.
What about Tyler Shuck? Tell us about his spring.
Tyler really has done a great job. He's smart. He's got experience. He's played a lot of football. He studies it. Anytime, in my opinion, you get a guy that has 1 year left, you know, they want to come in here and make a difference and make it work. And to this point, he's been a very good leader. We like what we've seen, without question. He's feeling good. He's healthy, and he can throw the football. And I just think that he will definitely help our offense, and we want to keep him healthy. And, you know, he's a mature young man. You know, got married a week or two ago. And,
he's got a mortgage yet?
He's got a lot going on, but he definitely loves football, and he'll do a great job, I think, for us.
What, does he remind you of anyone?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you his strengths. He's very accurate. He can throw the football.
That's good.
Those are all good qualities, correct?
Yeah.
You know, he's got athleticism. He can run. And, mm-hmm. like I said, he's just played a lot of football. So I think he's, you know, a really talented player.
Does he allow you to run the offense the way you kind of envision your offense?
Well yes, he does. Without question, he does. I think he definitely can control the ball, see the field, understands it, move, and buy some time when he needs to, throw a different arm angle. So yes, he has done his part, and we've got to just continue to get better around him.
Yeah, how is he as a runner? I mean, he looks like a pretty mobile guy.
Well, believe it or not, as you watch film on him, you know, he's got a little bit of a rap of having some injuries, and he's been asked to run the ball a whole lot with design running plays, and of course we'll try to minimize the actually design running plays as much as we can, because we don't want to get our quarterback hurt. But you know what, he does. He can tuck the ball and run what he needs to, and he can buy time. So we like his game.
What kind of format are you going to run tomorrow night for the spring game? Everybody has a different philosophy. I don't know if you have a set philosophy, or is it year by year, or what do you do?
Well, I think,
other than don't hit the quarterback.
Right. I think you see around college football that the spring game is becoming less and less of a viable game, unfortunately, just due to the change of rosters, getting guys injured, making sure you're getting people healthy to the season. And while that sounds boring to most, it is important. Like there's certain guys we have to play with this next year, or the chances of winning go down. So it's important to us that we figure out that right mix. Now for us, we're going to try to make it as game-like as we can. It'll be ones-on-ones. Now, maybe not as much live tackle as we want, but we can thud things up and still move the ball and spot it where we want. And of course, no hitting the quarterback. We got to make sure we get out of there clean. But I think you'll see quite a few guys play. Now there will be quite a few out as well that will not play. But that's just the way it's become.
You played in the NFL. Do you all feel like an NFL general manager these days with NIL and transfer portal?
Well, as everyone knows, that's the talk, Yeah, it's a huge component of the game now, and unfortunately, rosters will change quite a bit, and you can't let it get you down. You can't let it stop you from moving forward, and in the end, we want guys that want to be here, that feel good about their path to success. We're going to make sure we do that. We got a lot of coaches that work hard, that want to help our guys be great players, and if anybody wants to achieve those goals and get it done, they can do it here. And if someone wants to look at a different opportunity, then we're going to definitely help them do that as well.
Did Boone give you any specific reason why he was transferring?
Well, I think I don't want to say too many individual conversations on the air. I think we want to wish everybody the best. Unfortunately, things didn't work out for him the way he wanted. From our end, I thought he was having a good camp, and he was working hard. He was in good shape, and he would have done a very good job for us.
I know you guys are going to have a good team, because there's a really bad misinformation campaign going on around you. You don't do misinformation campaigns against bad teams. So this tells me you guys are going to be pretty good. But why do you think that is? What are the motives for something like that?
Well, with college football and the lack of monitoring rules throughout the NCAA and those things that happen, you're going to get numerous teams that through numerous sources are going to spread rumors and make calls and call your players and work behind the scenes to recruit those guys. You're going to get, unfortunately, some agents / street handlers, handlers of guys that are going to give a lot of bad information to certain people that if they follow it, then they're going to make bad mm-hmm. decisions. And you know what? You can't control it all. But at the same time, we want a football team of guys that fit in, that love being where they're at, that work hard, that understand what we're doing. And if they don't believe in the same thing, then we encourage them to look elsewhere.
Doing what you say you're going to do and fulfilling everything you say you're going to do used to be a basic requirement. Now it's a skill, apparently. It's something that that's not taken for granted. And you seem to be like the kind of guy who's lived by that. You do what you say you're going to do. So does something like that, does it piss you off?
Well, like I said, on air, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of...
The concept of it. I mean, just people suggesting that you're not doing what you said you're going to do.
Well, it doesn't make me mad. I know, you know, you can ask our players and people that have been through here. I think we have a pretty good setup here, and we do a good job of taking care of our guys. And, we want to win here. Mm-hmm. We're going to win, and we're going to work hard to win, and we're going to provide an environment to get that done. There's a lot of... other factors now that go into whether someone wants to be somewhere or not, which is fine. That's how the game has gone. But in the end, you've got to be able to play football. You've got to be able to work hard. You've got to be able to be a great teammate. You've got to be able to lay it on the line. And if you can, other good things can happen along the way, that's great. We want that to happen as well.
You're living this, so what changes would you suggest in all this, whether it's portal, whether it's having these guys under a contract? I mean, you've got to have thoughts on a way to make this a little bit cleaner for everyone.
Well, without question, I don't have all the answers. You know, when it comes to what it's become, without question, if you went to the NFL model, you probably have a better setup of knowing exactly what the rules are. Here's the cap. Here's how these contracts work. These guys are now going to be employees, and when they sign a contract, they're going to be required to fulfill that as well and know when it ends and those type of things. But when that happens, how, I don't know. Until then, we have to just utilize the rules to our advantage and do the best job we can. And I think everyone in college football feels close to the same way.
We're going to get the headsets this year? Do we have that? Is that coming like the a la the NFL? Like you pointed out, it was like 20 years ago when you had it in the NFL.
That is correct. The headsets are coming into play. Tablets on the sideline are coming into play. We've experimented with the headsets this spring. I think it'll be very similar to the NFL. There'll be a green dot on the helmet of guys that have the headset that are able to use that. You've got to manage and make sure if someone goes out of the game, you're able to switch helmets or do what you need make sure that someone has the green dot. There can only be one green dot on the offense or defense at the same time. But I do think that, it took a while to get to the college game just because a lot of teams like to go no huddle and they don't want to get in a huddle. It definitely works better if you're in a huddle.
Do you want to huddle? Is that better for you?
It's a thorough process. So, nowadays, as some teams know, sign stealing is a big part.
I hadn't heard about that. Was that a big story last year?
It's a big part of football. and you believe it or not, a lot of teams are good at it. And, yes, they do have the signs, and sometimes they find ways to get them ways they shouldn't. And everyone's aware of it. I mean, trust me, everyone was aware of it before some things came out.
What's it tell? Against, say, a team in a conference championship game maybe that they might have known your signs?
Well, when numerous other teams in the conference are calling us, telling us that's going on, we have to listen. And then, of course, when the second half plays a lot better than the first, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You have to adjust your signals, and you have to shield them, and you have to give some dummy ones. Or you can go in a huddle, and you can call it through the headset, and that way no one's stealing the sign. Now, does it sometimes slow you down? Yes, it's going to slow you down at times. So you kind of have to have that right mix, because a lot of teams in college want to go fast. They want to go no huddle. And unfortunately, you got to normally signal that in or have a wristband or something. So the headset will come into play and will be useful if you're really serious about the other team not stealing your signals. But sometimes it may slow you down.
So prep too.
Say, what time on the clock does it go? Like, why would a no huddle team not? Why couldn't you talk to the guy as he's going up to the line? Or is it not?
Well, you can. You can. Nowadays, then he has to relay to everyone else what's going on, which is fine, and that will take place. But a lot of these no-huddle teams are signaling not only to the quarterback, they're signaling to the line, they're signaling to the receivers.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, we've had some players on previous teams that
misread it, or
well, no, it's hard for them to grasp the whole idea of our offense.
Yeah.
So we sometimes would signal to them every single time what to do.
And so they have individual signals,
and you have to
like Dak can run like the wind, but
he
can't crack the code.
And who can handle it, who not? So it's just there's a lot of dynamics that go into it, and it all depends on who's on the roster and who's on the team.
How much time and preparation does not having to learn the signals and teach the signals and you can just tell the player run this play in his head. How much time does that free up in terms of your preparation and also his development? I mean, does it help?
Well, like I said, it can get complicated. I mean, we still want to run offense and do certain things, in order to do that, you've got to really kind of grasp what we're doing. Now, sometimes learning the signals is a whole different ballgame. You've got to not only know what you're doing, you got to know what the signal is. Sometimes, to be quite honest with you, to see it from the other sideline is sometimes where you have your problem. Even on defense, a lot of times when you signal defense in, if you have a mistake, it's normally the far field corner or the far field players that – hey, I didn't see it right, or I saw something else. So, you know, we have to constantly readjust, and we sometimes change our signals. Well, that signal's dumb on our part. It looks too similar to the other one, so we got to change what it looks like. So there's a lot of dynamics to it, and you got to practice it year-round. You have to learn the signals in case, I don't know, the headset goes out, and you got to signal things. But, yes, the headset can improve everyone being on the same page, really on both sides of the ball.
Far field corner, I never thought about them. It makes total sense. Do you ever attack that as an offensive idea?
Well, a lot of times when you're running some tempo plays, you'll do some things closer to your sideline because everyone kind of can get the signal and move quickly. So, yes, it does matter.
What was did you have a highlight of last year's season? Was there a moment where you're like, okay, this was really cool? I mean, Notre Dame had to be up there, but I don't know if it was something else.
Yeah, without question, Notre Dame was a great moment for it, really because it was at home and the fans really relished in that win, and it was a big win for us. So I think even going on the road to NC State when things weren't real pretty and finding a way to win was really good. I think going down to Miami when we had to – not had to, but if we won, we clinched the conference bid to go to the championship game. We won on their field against what I thought was a very talented team. Was a huge win for us. And I just think that, you know, there's a lot of good wins, a lot of things to build on, and a lot of things to improve, of course, at the end.
Was there a moment off the field that was great for you? I mean, after whether it was celebrating or whether it was just something else you envisioned being the coach here for probably a long time. So was there a moment that you got to celebrate with anyone that was
– Well, I think you know, the big wins are what you love. So when you see the fans relish and have a great time, and you get a lot of pats on the back, of course, after Notre Dame, that's big. When you go down to Miami and you find a way to do that, that was big for us. So those moments are always filled. You know, anytime you can accomplish some things that are not easy to accomplish, those mean the most because, you know, people reach out and they love being a part of it. And, of course, we want to try to make everybody happy.
Jeff Brown with us here in studio, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. You know, the responsibilities are different for coaches, different for fans now, too. I mean, how do you explain to fans or try to impress upon them the need to, hey, we want to have you as season ticket holders, but we need you to contribute to the NIL? I mean, it's a changing conversation.
Well, I think that you know, our fans have been great to this point, and I think you can tell they want to win. We've had great support in all those aspects that you just mentioned, coming to the games and supporting our players, and that's just how the game has been built up and set up. And I think that, you know, people want to come to games, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, softball, track and field, volleyball. They want to see wins. They want to see championships. They want to see people compete at a high level. It's a lot of fun to be a part of. Even when we're not playing football, I like to be at those games as well, and you want to relish in those moments. So, you know, I think everyone understands how it works, who follows it and listens to things, and people have done a great job at this point supporting.
How about Kelsey's behind-the-back catch at your practice? That was pretty
what was
athletic.
That?
Can you do that?
I don't know if I can do that. That was
video?
Really talented. And, of course, you know, sometimes you wonder, is that a trick camera view? Was that the 30th try? But from what I was told, it was the first try. So that's
is that impressive. Right? It was first try?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I didn't see it myself, but that's what I was told.
Yeah, I mean, it's on replay. I mean,
how many guys on your team could do that, you think?
Probably not many.
Yeah, that was that good. What's your impressions of him? Because like, I mean, nobody knew who he was, and then he's, you know, kind of, you know, taken the town by storm.
Well, you know what? He's definitely provided an energy and spark, and you can tell he wants to win. You can tell he's going to work his tail off to get it done. you know, you got to do all the small things even before you get on the court and coach and try to win games, and he's done that. And I think that the fans have definitely embraced that, and they're looking forward to getting basketball going as well.
You know, you couldn't have paid me enough money to go to the ACC tournament this year, but there you and Brady were. Why was it important for you to be there to support the Cards at that game?
Well, I think it's always important to support all of our teams and coaches, and Coach Payne was a great person that was working really hard, and we wanted to make sure that we were there to see if we can, you know, pull off some wins. And I think that, you know, for a while we were playing some really good basketball in that game, and unfortunately slipped away at the end. But, you know, you go to the Yum Center and you sit in there and you kind of just visualize having a packed house. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that we want to, however we can help, which isn't you know, doing all the grunt work behind the scenes in basketball, but however we can help and how we can help as fans, really the teams embrace that. They look forward to it. And
it's going
to
help you in recruiting, obviously, if it's a full building.
Yeah, right? You want to win games. Everyone does, and you want to make sure that our brand continues to rise.
It's tough. I was thinking like a recruiting trip, but you know everything about Louisville. Like when you were being recruited by Snellenberg, did you go to a basketball game? Of course, you probably add all the games anyway, probably back then.
Well, Coach did a great job recruiting. Yeah. I don't remember him going to a basketball game, but my memory is very selective and not very good. but he was good. You know, he was good at that aspect, and he did a great job of selling me on his vision and what really he's achieved and what he can achieve with you and his development of quarterbacks and staying home and doing it in front of the home crowd. So, of course, I learned a lot from him, and he means a big part to this program. He's the one that kind of said the bold things and said some things that we're going to accomplish when others didn't believe it, and set us on that path.
Does that still like stick with you, inspire you today, that message from him? I mean, is that part of your mission?
It does. I mean, that's what he was the best at. You know, some people, you can remember certain qualities. The best thing he could do is, you know, he could get his team to believe that they could beat anybody. And, of course, by saying bold things to the public, you know, your players sat in there like, wow, okay, he's not scared to say this to the world. And then, of course, he followed up by doing it with the team. And, of course, he followed up by, you know, 3-4 hour grueling practices. And he followed
with
up
no
by,
water, probably, right?
Not a whole lot of hydration unless you snuck to the shed behind the field. You know, we scrimmaged a long time. I remember being on a plane when I was in the NFL after, and I was coming back with a referee, and he said, yeah, you know what? One time I was leaving to go referee the Pittsburgh spring game, and we took off in the air, and I saw you guys practicing on the field. And when I came back on the plane from the game, I still saw you guys practicing on the field. So, yeah, that's probably accurate.
That's great.
Well, Howard did say some pretty bold things. The collision course, obviously one of those. But with the college football playoff coming this year, you know, for the first time expanded to 12, it's probably closer to a reality for this program than it ever has been. You know, where are you on the playoff, and how close are we to, you know, making the playoff and doing some damage in there?
Well, I think the playoff's outstanding, not only for us as a team, but just for college sports fans. You want to see the best thing about basketball is March Madness. You get to see a lot of teams compete and have a chance to get to the end and get to the title game. And you know, sometimes in football when it's the same four teams always gets a little boring to fans. So yeah, to have the ability for more teams to advance to a playoff and for your play during the season to really matter, if you win games and beat opponents and beat people on your schedule, makes it more important. So I think it's exciting for us, and of course, you know, winning the conference and getting up to the championship game will be vital to get to that point, so we've got to work hard to
do it.
Can
you imagine the energy of that? I mean, last year was great, but to have that on the line is be unbelievable.
Without question. I think, you know, even as we look back at last season, if we found a way to win the last game in the season and we're sitting there at 11-1, we're probably got a good chance to get in the playoff. If we go to the ACC championship and win that game, of course, we got a great chance of getting in the playoff. So that's your goal, and it's sitting right in front of you. And to get a possible home game or even just a playoff game of that caliber in your stadium, that would be tremendous.
Does that still sting, the Kentucky loss?
Oh, yeah, they all sting. But, yeah, without question, that's one that we let slip away. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we had a 10-point lead, twice in the second half, and just really had some miscues that we hadn't had before. It wasn't our defense's best game as well. That hurt us. And then, of course, in the championship game, it wasn't our offense's best game. And I just think we got a lot of things to learn, and we can use those as motivational tactics to get ready for this season.
Jeff Brown with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680.
Yeah, there were a lot of oddities in last year. We were talking about, like, losing Renato Brown in the pregame, you know, that you make a great play, Virginia ball carrier fumbles the ball, and it breaks his back, and all of a sudden it's a touchdown. There's all these weird things that happen, but you still found a way to win 10 games. I mean, you know, how difficult was it kind of mashing that season together, you know, with the parts that you had? Because I felt like you didn't always do what you maybe traditionally have done as a coach.
Well, that was the great part and the positive as our season, as our team showed a lot of fight, showed a lot of grit. We found a way to win close games, and sometimes they weren't pretty. And that's really college football. And, you know, yeah, in a perfect world, you want to shut people out, you want to stop the run, you want to throw the ball and get big touchdowns. All those matter. But at the same time, all these little small things matter, like the turnovers in the Pittsburgh game were critical, that really hurt us. Giving up big plays in that game really hurt us. And to find a way at NC State to just kind of grit it out, play good defense, get a couple interceptions at the end, helped us win, kick a long field goal, thank you. You know, at Notre Dame, play great defense, stop the run, and then be very efficient on offense of running the ball and controlling the clock and not giving them possessions and just hanging in there. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, pulling away was huge. As we got through the season, we probably ran the ball more consistently than we thought we were going to preseason, but that was kind of our strength, and we built off that. So every year's different. You never know you know, what your strength's going to be till you get through spring, even till you get to summer and even to fall camp. But we definitely want to have the ability to score points and touchdowns in a lot of ways. We want to have the ability to play aggressive defense but yet not give up big plays. And what's that perfect balance? And then, of course, special teams, you have to find a way to get an edge. And at times, we were really good, and then there were a few miscues that really hurt us.
Jeff Brown with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN. You can drink some of that water if you want.
Yeah.
We're giving him long session here in studio. I mean, how much will having a fuller tight end room help you this year in what you want to do?
Well, that's an important position for us, and I think in order to be a consistent offense and have the ability to run the ball with a little physicality, give the quarterback a target in between the hashes where you don't have to throw outside the numbers always, to be able to play action and hit guys up the seams that have some speed and talent is very important. So we've worked hard to improve it. We've still got a ways to go. We definitely have more pieces. They're working really hard, and that has to be a really strong point of our team.
Yeah, you all were really good at running the ball, but on third down, that, you know, probably wasn't the season that you were hoping for on third down. It's kind of one of those oddities I was talking about. You know, typically teams that run the ball as well as Louisville did last year to have a way better third down percentage. What do you think went on with that, and how are you going to do better in 2024?
Well, I think third down defenses get exotic, and you know, throwing the football, you've got to be more efficient, and you've got to be able to make plays. And then, of course, there are times where you've got to run the ball on third down in a manageable situations. But, we just got to get better at it. And I think that, throwing and catching, having some creative looks that help us out is important. And it's something you just got to study, because it's obviously vital to move the chains and get points. And, you know, that's something that we always work hard at.
One of the things we were talking about a little bit earlier is, you know, with all the transfer and everything else that goes on, I mean, recruitment of high school players, how much has that changed philosophically rather than just grabbing transfers?
Well, we will always use the traditional format of recruiting top high school prospects, trying to get the best ones in state and around the surrounding area if we can, building the team around that with that foundation. But at the same time, you know, today's college football is about unfortunately, guys can leave after mm-hmm. 1 year. So it may not be quite as important because, well, if they're not playing, are they going to be happy? Are they going to leave? Or are you wasting time? But we will still always do that. But at the same time, we have to improve our roster yearly. The importance of winning is now. It's not down the road, in my opinion. So mm-hmm. this year, we need to win. So however we need to get that done, it needs to be discussed and looked at. And we do it all the time. And with the different portal windows mm-hmm. and the ability to move around, that's is a constant. So just when you think you've worked a lot of guys that you feel good about it, that can drastically change. And you know what? That's just the way it is. So using post-May 1 as the ability to somehow set your roster and move forward, that's when we got to even put in a lot of work there.
Do you get to enjoy Derby? I mean, do you get to get finally relax a little bit then? Or is that like, I got to be on the phone with the transfer portal guy here or there?
Well, no, I'm looking forward to Derby. It's going to be a great week, and I'll be out there and having a good time.
Oaks and Derby? Or how do you do?
No, I'm probably going to be out there for both those this year.
Where do you sit there in the Kentucky?
Wherever the hell he wants, Mark.
I know that.
Well, I don't really know. I know I'm somewhere on the track. And, you know, nowadays, there's not a bad seat.
No.
Nowadays, quite a bit of refreshments and nutrition can be utilized wherever you're at. So we'll definitely do that.
And are you getting to meet Kyle Petty, the thing that the Monday afterwards? We were talking to him the other day, and he's like, they're doing this motorcycle ride, like Herschel Walker's coming through and all
well,
that.
Well, I have been told by a gentleman
David Blake.
Mr. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Mr. Chick-fil-A comes out. He's a huge supporter of us. I see him all the time. He's always generous and brings me my unsweet Sun Joy every time.
Oh, that's your go-to?
Well, you know what? Years ago, I tried to get rid of soft drinks, and that's about the only thing I can drink that gives me a good taste that's not a soft drink. But anyway, David has definitely invited me for that, and I'm looking forward to it.
The draft's coming up in Garindo. The way he tested.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you surprised at that at all? I mean, I think we all knew that he was an athlete, but to that level of an athlete, that was off the charts.
Well, that's a tremendous combine performance. When we recruited him out of Wisconsin, unfortunately, we played against him at Purdue. We never beat Wisconsin. They just would run the ball right down our throat. I mean, it was like we never could stop the bleeding. And he had a couple big runs. Now, he didn't play a ton, but he had a couple big runs, and one where he just broke away, and you're like, man, that guy's fast. So fortunately for us, he's from Indianapolis. We have a lot of connections. We knew people that knew him, blah, 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 and that's how recruiting works. And we knew he had track speed, so we didn't know he had track speed. When we got him, we had Jawar Jordan. We felt really good about him. We felt our running back room was pretty good, but we needed maybe one more, especially a bigger back, and we found the bigger back. And when he came in, to his credit, he wasn't our starter. Never complained, never moped around, never said anything negative, just always worked hard, was a great teammate, did special teams for us, very durable, didn't miss practice, had good hands. And Jawar, unfortunately, maybe the sixth game or so, went down with a knee injury. Even though he played through it, which I give him credit, he just wasn't quite the same because that knee was bothering him. He had to have surgery at the end of the season. So to his credit, he played through it for six games. But that's when Isaac really kind of stepped into the role, and you started to say, okay, this guy, once he gets warmed up, he's really good. Once he gets going downhill, he's hard to tackle and he's fast, but he has track speed and he's really strong and he's explosive. So that for the vertical and broad jump, there goes great results there. But the 40 time was tremendous. So anybody at that size that runs that, and trust me, I've had a ton of calls on his behalf, actually a ton of calls on Jawar's behalf. But I think
will he get drafted too? You think them both get drafted?
I think they will. Mm-hmm. I think Isaac's obviously his performance might. Yeah. Push him up hopefully a little
third,
bit.
Fourth round?
It's a possibility without question.
Yeah. Just a couple minutes here left with Jeff Brown, was kind enough to stop by studio. The spring game, of course, coming your way tomorrow night. You told a great story last year when the coaches shows about Jennifer coming up with a trick play that encouraging you, the trick play that actually worked. I think that was Western. Has she offered up any more play calling help?
Well, for the last few weeks, I haven't seen her a whole lot. It's been kind of busy. You know what? Just yesterday, we put in a whole bag of trick plays just to have in our arsenal for tomorrow. They probably none of them will work, but we put them in.
Did you name any of them after coaches?
We have some names on them that we can't reveal yet. But you know what? Having some excitement, we really got to get that going. I felt like last year the trick plays
Yeah, you're boring. Just say it. Come on. You're boring.
As we would like. So, yes. You
feel like you owe it? Like you have a guilty conscience about it?
No, I feel bad about it because that's what kind of makes things fun and exciting. So we've got to kind of really juice that up a little bit somehow.
I don't know. The fake kneel down before halftime.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
That was a winner for me.
We did do that one. That one was good.
Yeah. Where do you pick them up? I'm just like.
Oh, shoot. You know what? It's just from past history of playing. Mm-hmm. It's from past teams that we were on. It's from research. It's from just watching games. Half the time you steal them from a team, not really necessarily a college or
I'd say a high school team probably has some pretty good ones, right?
One of my best ones was the double reverse throwback screen that we've used quite a bit. It helped us beat Michigan State when they were undefeated. I think we may have used it versus twice last year for Gaines. But it's interesting. A lot of times, like the first time we ever called it, was a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times these new ones, when you first use it, it's like, man, this is really good. And unfortunately, the more you practice it, the more we screw it up as coaches. So what we normally do is
don't
we practice
it
one time, and we say, all right, that's it. Coaches quit coaching it, quit screwing it up, just let the players play, and that's when it works its best.
Yeah. We tried in the USC game, that a kickoff return, like looking at it, did not work, but I'm like, I hope they try that again, because I kind of like that concept, but they were right on it. I mean, USC, I don't know if we screwed it up, or if USC
stole the signals, probably.
I don't know. Maybe they stole the signals, but I like the concept of that. It just did not work.
The concept was good. It was stolen by someone else that were really good. Unfortunately, the mechanics of it, we might have even bobbled it. There was just some things that threw it off, and if it's thrown off a little bit, then it looks terrible.
Right.
So unfortunately, it looked terrible. Our special teams coach Carl Moslas, he'll tell you, like, I'll send him things I see all the time on Twitter, whether it's 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and we worked a few things yesterday, but you do need to get one or two a year that could be beneficial.
So still no hobbies? You're sending plays at 2 and 4 in the morning, or do you pick any hobbies up?
Not a whole lot of hobbies. Yeah. You know, I went on spring break for a few days. That was a hobby of mine.
Yeah, it worked out well. And the Brom family got three of the four answers of the best trivia question I know about the name of the schools as a color.
Oh, that's great. That's good. That's a good trivia question, really. Yeah.
We got all the answers right between all of us, but yes, we were able to.
Well, there's not a lot of time for hobbies. He's throwing out the first pitch. Yeah. He's going all these things.
Any concerts coming up? I mean, you like concerts. Anything coming up?
You know what? There's a possibility. I looked into the Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm. Friday night,
Oaks night maybe. That's a possibility.
I think you can probably get in there. Yeah.
That might be a really good one. Right.
They got
there.
A look in your eye about that one.
I was asking questions yesterday about it. I think someone told me it's going to be in the parking lot across from Slugger Field.
Isn't it Junior Bridgman's party?
And I think it is.
So how many do you need for that? What do we need? How many does the four, well, six? What are we talking about?
Let's talk after.
No, on the air. This is where you beg for things. This is how you get it. I beg. You can demand.
That's how you become a radio Jedi. That's how you do that. You ask for things on the air, and then they somehow arrive.
So Jeff Brom needs help with tickets to that for Bruno Mars. Get it done, listeners. Let's get it done.
That's Oaks Night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a lot going on.
Better be blowing up here in about 5 minutes with offers. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks. We kept you a long time. Thanks for hanging out and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jeff Brom.